Cool guys, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Good, man.
You're a fucking legend.
I'm happy with that, mate.
Yeah. Cheers, bro.
Hey guys, David here, Rapid QS. We're just down in the GC, gonna catch up with Baz from Luxville. We've been talking over Instagram for a couple of months now. I was meant to come and see him in December, but got caught up with stuff. Just came down from Melbourne this morning, saw a few builders, a couple architects. So gonna go through one of his jobs we've got here, and then we'll do a podcast at his studio later. So stay tuned, hope you enjoy the fun.
I never thought I'd get into, so I played a lot of AFL. Like,
yeah, nice.
Just socially, not socially, just amateur.
Yeah.
Loved it. Then obviously the knees gave way and always it was a keen runner. So I always got into, I'm always known for my chicken legs, but got into running, did a couple of marathons, knees didn't hold up. Then a mate said, mate, do you want to just use my push bike? The road bike. I'm like, mate, I'm not going to wear Lycra.
I'm not shaving my legs and wearing Lycra, mate.
I ride 3 or 4 times a week.
No
I
way.
I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I go out for an hour and a half ride.
How many Ks?
So during the week, I ride 45 Ks.
Fuck.
So about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yep.
And then...
What, per session, 40, 45? Or total?
No, just in the mornings.
That's good.
So I get back by 6 in the morning.
Yeah, nice.
But, love it.
Yeah.
And then on the weekends, I'll go for a bit of a, if I get, every second week going, weekend, I'll go for about a 80 to 100K bike ride.
Yeah.
It's beautiful around here.
Yeah, man. It's
but that, I was going to say, now I'm into cycling and now I play squash. So I play squash every Thursday.
See, that's tennis's worst nightmare, mate, because the wrist is all fucking sloppy and loose. It's horrible.
But I can't play tennis, but just the speed of it. And it's me and a couple of friends. We probably spend more time socializing afterwards.
Yeah.
Than the half an hour of squash that we play.
And it's good, man, because you're in like a sauna sweat box. Like, it's so
that's
good for you.
Phenomenal, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, cool, so man. Thanks for catching up this morning, man.
Yeah, man.
Awesome to go around a couple jobs. I know I've been trying to get you on the hook for about 3 months.
No, I'm glad I'm glad we can catch up, mate.
Yeah,
I really
it's good.
Appreciate it, man.
So you've been building here for about a decade?
Yeah. I've been up here for, building 10 years. based originally from Melbourne.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of renovating and buying and flipping houses down in Melbourne. And then we came up here and fell in love with the area.
Sweet.
Started doing a couple of duplexes of our own.
Yeah.
Specy builds.
Nice.
Excellent. So you learn every aspect of the build. So you put your client hat on and also builder and developer side of things as well.
Because I feel like when you're just a custom builder, you kind of just get the stamp plans and build through it.
Yeah,
but correct. When you obviously develop, you're doing the whole,
correct.
Is this shit going to sell? What's selling?
Yeah.
How much is council stuff? Yeah.
So you learn a lot. You put a lot of hats on, but as a builder, you need to be across all aspects of building.
Yeah.
From design phase, concept, right through to handover completion.
Yeah.
There's a lot of areas of the build and learning all the other side of things that come into it is pretty important.
Mm.
When
you first left school, what did you do straight away?
I've been landscaping.
Yeah.
I've always been outdoors at landscaping, and then got into commercial foreman for a commercial builder in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So working on high rises.
Did you love that?
I enjoyed it, but I was always renovating houses on the weekend. So would spend, most weekends renovating houses, and I probably enjoyed that side of things than managing, commercial builds or large scale.
How many flips do you reckon you did in Melbourne?
We did 7 or 8.
Did you lose money on any?
We broke even, but when you sort of put all the numbers in it, your time.
Oh, you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably not.
And then you sort of think, wow, if we hung on to that a bit longer, we would have done, made our money back or even more.
Yeah.
But they're just great learning experiences, and you learn very quickly what the main things that need to be done and where the money needs to be spent.
Mm.
I was always sort of, being a builder and coming from a carpentry background, you're like, we need to really like focus on these areas here, the walls, but they're not the areas that are going to, add value, and the client's not going to want it. So.
Yeah. You did, what age did you move out of Melbourne and up here?
So we were 20, 25, 26.
Yeah.
Been up here and back a couple of times.
What was the reason for the move? Just like
It was me and my wife and the dog packed up the ute.
Oh, the dog, yeah, nice.
I had a Kelpie who was a bit of a sight dog, and we just travelled up the East Coast. We're heading right up to northern Queensland, where we had a couple of investment properties. But we stopped in at the Gold Coast here to see a sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Just in around here where we are at Paradise Point, and just went, oh, this is not too bad area to hang around.
Straight into the real estate store on Saturday.
Yeah, well, sort of that sort of things, but continued up. We lasted 2 weeks up north and then came back right down to here.
Yeah.
Started going.
You reckon that's gonna be all right, or? It's authentic, so.
That was a bit loud.
No.
That was a bit loud, that'd be there.
Yeah, anyway. That's all right.
So came back down here and brother-in-law was in building as well, so I was able to sort of get things ticking along with him.
Yeah.
And then just jumped into the gun and did my own specy builds.
Nice.
And that sort of gained momentum for clients.
Yeah.
So was able to get clients to have a bit of a walkthrough.
Yeah.
I still use them as well.
Yeah.
Those builds for clients to have a bit of a walkthrough.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Which is excellent.
Yeah, we spoke about that, man. All you need is kind of one good job off the bat and away you go.
Those specy builds were good. We had people, and we got a couple of people who were interested in buying off the plan or seeing what we've done or in the past and wanting to know when your next one's available because they'll be really interested because they missed out on that one.
Yeah.
So that's really encouraging from a builder, you know, the developer side.
Knowing what you're doing is good, and if people are wanting to buy more, keep going.
Yeah, which is really good. It does come down to price, and you know, everything comes down to a dollar figure and making sure that you can obviously make a profit from it.
Yeah.
So you can't just go and it's nice to have the people or the client behind you, but you need to make sure from the start that the project that you find is going to you know, be profitable for you as a...
Were you pretty nervous going into your first one? You would have sunk a bit of cash into it. And
I sort of look at it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually, again, so 10 years was one of the first builds that we did, and I just completed a build in the same street. And you sort of look at, wow, what I've learnt in 8 to 10 years from that build. And I go past that build and just go, wow, that's such a beautiful build. But what I know now, as opposed to what I knew back then, is completely different. And I'm a bit more relaxed about building now. Whereas a bit more stayed awake at night. And as you do, we always do as business owners, you know, your mind's constantly ticking.
Yeah.
But I can switch off a little bit better now. Whereas I would, you know, in early days, you would lay awake at night thinking about everything. Now it's more laying awake at night and thinking about, you know, how you're going to build these certain areas of construction and you know, what's the best use of time, or thinking about other things. Family is important. Yeah. I have a bit more time for family now, which is important, and I dedicate that time.
Yeah.
Block out those time for family.
Yeah, nice. And adding on a 40K cycle ride every morning.
My chicken legs.
They're growing. A bit into roosters.
But I enjoy it because I switch off and just go out and you sort of prepare yourself for that. I think exercising is pretty important. We live in a beautiful part of the world to be outside and be able to get up early and go for a ride and clear the mind a bit.
Yeah. So you were doing spec builds when you first moved. What was like your ratio of doing client builds and spec builds, like working for a client versus your own?
Yeah, it was... Full spec build.
And then doing client work as well.
It would be one-on-one.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
Yep. Same ratio now?
Yep, correct.
Yeah.
At the moment, we don't have any of our own builds at the moment. We're just focusing on the clients that we have at the moment.
Yeah.
At the moment I'm quite selective in the clients that we take on. Because if we are being a custom builder, we need to make sure that we're a right fit for the client. You know, it's a relationship. You know, it's a 12, 18 month relationship.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we have the capabilities to meet their needs, and that we're a good fit. If you don't really gel with someone, you know, you don't want to be in lowering heads for 12 months.
That's tough. What's like your selection process for business for finding a good client, and how do you get most of your work through Instagram, or how is it word of mouth?
It's at the moment it's word of mouth and it's in the area.
Yeah.
So I'd say 50% of it is word of mouth, and the other half is working in the area. Signage, but it's also what I find is clients do actually do look you up on social media.
It's a bit of like an online CV. They can just see a bit of everything. Yeah.
And I guess we do that with other people as well and other businesses. And to have that presence is pretty important.
Yeah.
And they can look at it, you know, the website, they can look at past projects and see the array of jobs that we do and current builds that we're doing in the area.
Yeah.
That we're quite active, because at the moment, you know, people are a little bit hesitant to go with builders.
Yeah.
Like it is tough. You know, it's a challenging industry to be in. It always has been. But you know, since COVID, during COVID, and it's been a little bit difficult to give the clients the confidence that they need. So it's pretty important you tick all the boxes from the start.
Yeah. Have you ever at all been like stressed about work coming in or sales are slow, inquiries? Like how many inquiries would you get on a monthly basis?
On a monthly basis, it's probably, monthly it'd be two or three,
yeah.
But they're a bit more
they're pretty
time wasters.
Oh, okay,
And probably tire kickers.
Yeah. So how do you qualify that? Like, do you have a...
straight up.
Yeah, so, straight up on the phone.
Yeah, it is that on the phone, but if they want to take it to the next level, the biggest thing is time for estimating and going, well, oh, you know, can you price these set of plans?
What am I going to get out of it?
Well, you know, to me, estimating, you know, is a minimum just to give you a basic figure is 30 or 40 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's my hourly rate. I value my time. Yeah.
So the biggest thing is look, I can give you an estimate, but I charge $3,000.
Yeah, nice.
Flat fee. If you're interested in going further, look, you know, we can talk about sort of ballparks and, you know, budgets.
Yeah, do you give ballpark square meters over the phone? Like just very...
Not rate. Anymore.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Any reason for that?
Purely because I feel that the things, especially in the custom side of things, things are a little bit too... unpredictable and it's too many variables.
Oh, you could go a thousand
you can say, look, you know, I can look, you look at every job and you look at how much that ended up being square meters, which is pretty important. So it gives you the confidence to start that conversation. And then sort of say, hey, look, I think we can make it work with your budget and, you know, what you want to build. But if a client sort of, you feel like they're just shopping you around through other local builders, you'd sort of say, well, look, you know, here's my fee proposal.
Yeah.
And this is what's included in the $3,000 that you're going to get for a full estimate. And if you go ahead with it, then, you know, that $3,000 comes
off the end. Yeah.
And it varies between the site. It varies between the size of the job, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
But I had a client I was sort of kicking myself because it's in the same street that I'm building at the moment, and probably 2 or 3 years ago, I would have done everything to
get that job.
Because
you look at like everything in a scale and it's like, I could be light on work, this job might not come in. Fuck, it's location, prime
location. Like,
do you take that into consideration when you're looking
location?
At everything? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I do. And time. And because I've learned, because I've built several houses in Brisbane, which is, you know, it might say it's 45 minutes away, but in the morning it turns into an hour and a half and you're there and then you've got to meet someone there and it's an hour and a half just to go and travel to meet there.
Yeah.
And then you work out quickly that a trade might be on site and you're like, yeah, here, I'm finally here to meet you. Or anyone, or a client, but you're like 45 an hour away.
Yeah, you can, and if it's an important meeting, you can't make it.
And like, I've got the guys on site, but you know, they're on site to do work. Like, you know, I don't want to say, hey, can you just sort out this trade?
Yeah.
It takes them away from there.
Yeah. So when did you cut off the whole Brisbane travel thing?
That was at the start of last year.
Yeah, nice. So how were you doing, like, what, two jobs at a time down here, two up there?
Up there, I had four or five projects.
Four or five at a time.
Either go. Also during COVID as well.
Oh, man.
But I was working with some great people.
Yeah, nice.
And a great friend of mine, Caleb Adams, who's gone on to build an amazing construction company.
Me.
Love him to bits. And me and him built some beautiful houses. But the travel and family commitments were...
Yeah.
Pretty important.
Do you hire pretty much all local guys here?
Yeah, I do now.
Yeah. And then you would have been sending them up to...
I was trying to send them up to Brisbane.
Didn't want to go?
Because work there was so much work available close by, so they would just say, sorry, Baz, mate.
Yeah.
You know, my plumber did one up there, fantastic, and then he just went, sorry, Baz, mate, I've been doing all your plumbing for so long.
Just to let you down.
But I can't keep travelling up there.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's they've got to look at it from, you know, a financial point of view.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're in this to make money, and you want the people that you come in on and the subcontractors, like, if they're not making money,
why would they work for you, man?
Why?
Might as well stay at home.
Yeah, it's pretty important.
So did you manage to build up an okay team of subbies up there?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Even some do come down here.
Nice.
But I like to try and keep the guys in within the area.
Yeah. Is it a bit of a different market, like Brisbane to Gold Coast, or is it all kind of the same but different?
Brisbane's good. Yeah. I am coming from a Melbourne background, you know, it's
similar,
it's
a city vibe. Yeah,
it's a city vibe. So you've got a lot of work going on in there. You've got a lot of people up there.
Yeah.
Whereas Gold Coast seems like it's such a relaxed area.
Yeah.
Everybody enjoys living and working.
Yeah. It's a lifestyle down here, right?
It is a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, like at the same time, like, you got to get work done.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's important, but you can sort of, you know, it's nice to be able to shoot out in the boat or shoot a jet ski for a surf or
nice,
whatever.
Bro.
Or go for a bike ride.
Yeah. How do you deal with, like, your people always love to know sort of, you know, internal structure and team stuff? Like, what's kind of your office staff set up, site staff set up, builders, foremen?
Yeah.
If you want to touch on that.
Okay, so I've sort of scaled back sort of the in-house side of things purely just to keep overhead expenses down. And I have a remote admin person who works for me, who lives on the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, man.
And she does 15 to 25 hours a week of admin.
Invoicing, project stuff.
But she does everything because she comes from a building background.
Beautiful.
She can source items for the client and she can talk with the client. But she also can look after the building approval side of things.
Nice.
And also, so the pre-construction side of things, and also during the construction and liaise with the class. So she's got a bit of everything around.
That must cut your phone calls down from 100 to 20.
They're still high, which I love it. I'm pretty busy. Like, today's been a pretty busy morning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting pulled left right center,
man.
But just from random people. And, and that's fine. And I like, you know, you're pretty busy, but I always make sure I answer the phone call.
Yeah. Are you pretty big on, like, time management? Like, how do you manage that stuff? Because obviously running any business, how many guys have you got on the tools now?
So I've got a lead foreman and two labourers.
Okay, cool. So he deals with all the site stuff?
Yeah, predominantly. But we catch up most mornings for a chat whether I'm trying to get to site in the mornings.
Yeah.
So my mornings basically are I get to... If I need to be on site early, I'll get on site early for some quick meetings. But I do quite a bit of running around up until about 9:30, and then back in the office for that time.
Does he deal with all, like, sub-trade coordination? Because that's a huge one. If, like, one job, 10 or 15 subbies, there's 50 phone calls a week.
It is.
Easy.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
He deals with the ones that he's comfortable to deal with.
Yeah.
And
you have to do all the hard phone calls.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I don't want him to do that. Like, he's building himself up to be that person, which is great. But I don't want him to have to, you know, be thinking too much or about stuff that he's not familiar with.
Yeah.
And he needs to be busy on site, which is, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
Guy, and learning as well. So they've got to be teachable.
How old is he?
So he's 27.
How long has he been with you?
He's been with me for just under 2 years.
Yeah, nice. So he wouldn't have done your apprenticeship with you. He was qualified, came through. Cool.
And he's got, you know, like, I think they're teaching them. Everyone's got their own way of learning and teaching, but to understand if there's a mistake, but to learn it and use that going into it, because we all make mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I make 50 mistakes a day.
Every day, man. Yeah.
But if you can understand it and learn from it and be teachable, then it just helps the job flow easier.
So are you using, like, sub-trades for heavy carpentry stuff? How are you, like, what do you guys do when you're pricing?
So a lot of our frames, for example, are pre-nailed. So got a great crew of carpenters that come in and do pre-nail.
Oh, sweet. So you guys don't send any frames?
No. Unless it's a stick frame.
Okay, cool.
We've got a beautiful build coming up now.
Nice.
Which is... sort of it's a mid-mod century single story, like Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And that's going to be all stick frame.
Yeah, cool.
But I'll get the guys in to do my stamp my roof trusses.
Yeah.
But and there's a couple other specialised carpenters that I bring in to do the detailed work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Would you say that helps budget more? Because obviously when you use subtrades, you can fix price stuff. Like labour blowouts are probably the biggest one where costs can overrun for any building company.
Correct.
Are you predominantly, I mean, by the sounds of it, you're maybe more project management style?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Have you changed that from like 5 or so years
ago?
Yeah,
well, I think 5 or 6 years ago, I'd be jumping on site
and doing it yourself.
Doing what I can and jumping in where I could. But you can't do everything. And then that sort of takes away the admin and the running of the business side of things drops
dramatically when you're on tools,
So now I sort of block out during the day, office between, you know, 10 and 2, 10 and 5, where I need to.
Yeah.
And if I need to have meetings, I'll work that in, but try and make sure that I've dedicated every day to time in the office working on the business and running the business as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't always go like that.
No.
It doesn't always, like, but, you know, if I block out hours, I'm going to do it. Going back to your question, time management. Getting better at it.
It's always a work in progress, man.
Yeah.
I always do audit, like hours of audit day, like every single week, because I'm always thinking, how can you, you know, if you put a dollar value on what your hourly rate is, can you get someone else to do that for those hours?
That's so true.
And then free yourself up to do, because your biggest task would be surely, you know, sales. How do we make more money? On every, like profit margin and sales are probably your key items.
The way I look at it is I only take on 3 or 4 builds a year, but I'm booked out until the second half of next year.
Yeah, 18 months jobs for you?
Yeah.
12 to 18?
Going back to, there was a client that I turned down because I don't think we're a good mix, and he wanted to start building this side of Christmas, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
That would, it'll stretch us out too much, but it'd also, it would drop the level of quality of our current builds as well and everything like that. So,
do you find that a bit of a red flag in clients if they're pushing for stuff too soon?
Yeah, I do now.
Yeah, because I just feel like it's never going to go well. Like, you know in your head, you're not going to hit that timeline.
It's hard to say no.
Yeah.
But once you get, once you learn how to say no, because you've got to think of, you want to, like, I'm a people's person. Like, I love dealing with clients.
Yeah, I'm the same as you.
A client today is bringing little brownies for us on site this morning. Nice. I'm like, that's nice.
Was that the lovely lady on site?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure, I didn't get a brownie.
I ate them all.
You ate them all because they're so good.
you got to learn to give a firm no when you know it's right. Some people want to push and get things. You try and do as much as you can to please everyone. You can't please everyone, but you got to say no.
Yep.
No time's right.
Do you have a lot of repeat clients? Like you said, you do work for a few developers, a few sites we've been to.
I've got my first repeat client now that I'm looking to build in the second half of this year, which we did a duplex for 7 or 8 years ago, and now we're building their forever home.
Yeah, cool.
The rest are more referrals.
Yeah.
One of the best things I've got is the clients that we've built for and have also moved into the houses that we've built, they're very house proud. So a client that we're building for who's moving up from Sydney, I was able to take them through previous jobs.
Existing houses.
Their houses that the client, that the people living in there who are very house proud and more than happy to bring potential clients through.
Yeah, that's good. Eh? And
it's,
I suppose,
important.
If they can have a chat to the existing client, they'll say, yeah, man, Baz was awesome, or
hopefully
Baz is always on the jet ski, never really on site. That would help you sell a few more jobs, I take it.
It's they're lovely people, and
Nice.
They're more than happy to talk about where they're living and the experience.
Yeah,
I think the experience is pretty important.
Yeah, 100%. It's a real like emotional journey, I find, for that stuff. And it's,
it is.
I probably haven't done as many new build stuff as you, but like internal renovations, man, when you're in someone's house every day, holy shit. Have you had clients where you've had to deal with emotions, tough conversations?
The hardest thing is, I think everyone deals with Christmas time. You know, everyone wants to try and be in before Christmas. You try and push as much as you can to get it in before Christmas, and it might work, but then, you know, if it can't happen, it can't happen, you know. But that's the hardest thing when I find it. They got a deadline that they got to get in. I've got removalists booked in this day, you know, you got to have finished. And it's just like,
yeah,
look, we're it's due for completion next week. I can't bring it forward.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do.
Let's just stick with it. Going back is I never used to be very focused on scheduling. Yeah. I find scheduling is very important now.
Yeah. Do you use the software?
Yeah, I use BuilderTrend.
Okay, cool.
I've used a couple of others in the past. And
yeah.
BuilderTrend is fantastic for scheduling, but it also has other things that you can do for site photos or site notes, reminders.
Nice.
You can bring in the clients to see the schedule as well.
Yeah, nice.
I allow that as well, where clients can look at the schedule and they can see what's coming up in the next month.
Mm. That will save a few phone calls, eh?
It does, yeah. And they see it. They can see that it's moving.
Yeah.
Because you get your week moves from all the time.
Do you physically have to like log that stuff though, like when plumber's done or is it all?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
The way I set it up, it's got triggers and quality control for me.
Nice.
Or as the company needs to, the job they're at today, footing. So there's a tag in there because we're pouring concrete there tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But there's a check that needs to be done this afternoon.
Yeah.
That we're okay.
Yeah. Who does that check?
I do it, or I get Michael to come through and do it.
Yeah, nice.
And he can see the schedule, and he gets tagged.
He gets a trigger for like a site meeting or something.
Yeah. Yeah. He's cool. Aware of it. And reminders on your phone, and it's an app that you can just put on your phone as well. You can see everything there.
Yeah, nice. What's his name, sorry?
Michael.
Michael. Yeah. How important is it to have like a Michael for you?
It's very important.
Yeah.
It's very important. But at the same time, you got to respect that, if they need some time.
To do stuff, yeah.
They need time. He's got some young kids. I understand that he needs to have time to go and pick them up or do them. You've got to be flexible with it.
Yeah, I feel like in today's day and age, work from home and remote stuff and all that jazz, you have to have some sort of flexibility.
Yeah.
How do you deal with quality control? That's a huge thing in our game, man. Yeah. It's so niggly.
Checklists. I've got a working drawing checklist that has been growing. and I send it to architects and draftees to make sure that the working drawings that are coming to me have these 50 items in there, everything from exhaust fans to positioning to.
And that's just little details.
Yep.
So when you're on site with the stamp plans, there's nothing missing.
Yeah. Everyone can read them in it. But also the client can see that, okay, they're not going to go, well, what's that there? Yeah. why is there a vent there? I'm like, well, that's where the exhaust fan's going. Look at the plans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Do you work with the same architects, designers that you've sort of ones?
I've worked with a few repetitive architects and designers.
Yeah. Hard to find good ones?
It is, yeah.
I'll give one piece of feedback for you.
Yeah.
I feel like New Zealand architect and designers, they put all their stuff on one PDF. Like you can scroll all the way through. What is it with Australian ones? There might not be all of them.
Yeah.
But they attach, you'll get an email attachment of like 15 attachments.
Yeah.
And they're not all in the same PDF. What's
correct.
Going on there?
Well, that's on my checklist, is making sure that the one PDF...
There's a scroll roll.
It's one PDF.
Man, that is so annoying.
That's so funny. It's that little detail of that.
Yeah. Me and Jamie bitch and moan about that all the time, man. He's just like, what is going on? And also, if it's a renovation, not so much a new build, but existing floor plan and proposed right next to each other.
Yeah.
When they have two stories, they go ground floor, first floor, ground floor, first floor.
Yeah.
Propose existing. It's like, do you know how hard it is to try and even know what's going on?
Or like a set of plans, that's the extension that you're doing with no measurements, but then the next one has all the measurements. I'm like, I don't need the one that doesn't have measurements. I need measurements.
Yeah, builders work off tapes, man.
some great designers and architects on the Gold Coast and in Brisbane.
Do you try and be selective with what ones you work with?
Cool. Most clients want recommendations.
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, look, here's three or four that I've worked with in the past.
Okay.
Some I also look through social media side of things to say, hey, look, I haven't worked with this architect, but I understand the type of build that you're doing. This architect is down your area, down what you want to build. Let's engage that.
Yeah.
But I strongly emphasize that I think you need to bring the builder in early.
Yeah.
Even during that concept plan, so we can keep the budget where it needs to be.
Not sure if we spoke about that, but do you predominantly work with clients at like idea phase or after they've gone through a design phase?
Now it's at the idea start.
Okay. Yeah.
And from concepts through, I like to get involved because costing's pretty important.
Yeah. How many kind of cost checks or cost like areas will you walk through at that stage?
So at the start, there's just, this is the budget, and this is a bit of a at my estimating, I'd get things basic takeoffs done.
Concept kind of pricing.
Preliminary pricing. Yep. And then the more detail we get in, then we can start to go into full scale estimating. But I don't usually get full scale estimating done until we're ready to go to BA or Lodge approvals, because we've got all the detail.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
We've included and, you know, almost signed off on a lot of the custom items, the finishes that the client wants.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you notice, have you had jobs that have blown out completely and not gone ahead from concept through to working?
Yeah. Correct. Well, there's been ones where I've, you know, the budget's this, and we've been working the whole way through, and now we're 100 grand over. How can we bring that back?
Strip some luxuries out, yeah.
Luxuries, or you work on, okay, what's important? Like, you know, this has got everything that you want in the build, but we're, you know, we're 60 to 100 grand over.
Yeah.
What would you like to do?
Yeah,
I can work on different. I'm not going to jeopardize the buildings as such to try and save on costs.
Do you have clients who get pretty pissed off when that kind of happens? Because cost is a big thing on everything. It's really hard to maintain.
I think it's important to get the right people around you to do pricing quotes and engage people. Like, it's, you know, I used to do everything myself and price and allowances and that, but you need to engage the right people. You know, because, you know, like yourself, you got the tools and the format to give me what I need to go to the client and give a confident answer.
Yeah.
Things blow out like all the time, like, you know, costs are, you don't know where costs are in footings and things like that.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, at the end of the day, when you go, look, this is going to be your forever home, this is pretty important.
Yeah. Don't try and skimp on 40 grand now. You're going to live here for the next 20 years. So
Definitely.
Are you predominantly fixed price work for all your client builds?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. You don't do any cost plus stuff?
No.
Just PC some?
It's predominantly fixed pricing.
Yeah.
Some clients like to do cost plus. We'll look at that in one way or another and see, look, how we can we mitigate it and why you want to do cost plus.
Yeah.
Or fix, you know, it's going to be a fixed cost, but look, these are the areas where we need to provide provisional sums and allowances.
Yeah. Like that first project we went to today. Mm-hmm. I mean, we spoke about it in person. I mean, that's the kind of job where you could blow out in kitchens, bathrooms, flooring.
Yeah.
Have you ever done like shell lockup pricing?
And no. Then,
no?
Always? Nah.
Yeah. Nice.
Always through. But like with that one there is, I was extremely confident going into a fixed price.
Yeah, nice.
Because I had allowances in there, and the client, I guided the client from the start, and they knew where we're at, and they knew that there was allowances, and with those allowances were based on quotes as well that we've got.
Yeah.
And understanding with the supplier that quote will move in price, but the client is aware that will move in price. Like. Yeah. The joinery and cabinetry was a very important part of that project. Originally, it was priced well over the budget.
To give a bigger allowance for it. Yeah.
So before we went to contract, we made sure we got it down to a somewhat reasonable figure. Yeah.
How do you deal, you said your partner's in the interior design space. Mm-hmm. How do you obviously... paint colors, carpet, floor coverings, kitchen specs. How do you run that process? Because you can suck up some hours there.
You can. So, engage interior designers from the start. Definitely get that involved. So we have part of our design package is get the, because I can't do colors. I'm not. I can't.
Blind when it comes to colors. Yeah.
Love the finished product. But I can't choose. That's not my area.
Yeah.
So I engage the right people.
Nice.
We work with quite a few different interior designers, and some of the clients are very good in their selection. They know the colours they want. They know the finishes they want. They've even got their samples, and they got the samples of the tiles, and I just put that all
that makes
into
your
my
life
document.
Easy,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we have a specifications document that has everything in there that's been signed off by the client. So.
Yeah.
From paint colors to finishes and that, interior designers play a big role, I believe, in
especially in your space, in the custom build space.
Definitely. And, you know, they have an idea of cost as well. Like they know, you know, what square meter is going to cost for supply of, you know, your products that, the, you know, that they can keep, you know, we might sort of say, look, you know, we're sort of allowing, you know, 60 to $80 a square meter for tiles. So they know that's the budget and they can source something for around that sort of price.
And then if they go Saturday shopping, they can go, hey, our budget's this is what we need.
Yeah, definitely.
I had a question, if you don't have to say, but that house we went to first, what is that roughly on a square meter rate?
It's just over 3,000 square meter.
Yeah, that's pretty, do you reckon that's pretty, is that been pretty standard across the last couple of years
at
for
the
you?
Moment, yeah.
Yeah, was it higher 2 to 3 years ago?
It was lower.
Lower. Okay. Yeah, obviously everything's going up, but there was a bit of a bloody building rush not long ago.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And again, there's items in there that we're not including.
So they are taking a bit of heavy sub-trade items on themselves?
Not so much sub-trades, carpet.
Carpet, okay, cool.
And the landscaping. Yep. We're doing the hard landscaping, the pools and the surrounds, tiling, concreting, pathways and driveways.
Yep.
We'll do all that. Yep. They're doing more soft landscaping.
Yep. Does that ever get like a little bit fiddly when it comes to putting that stuff in contract and stipulating who's doing the project management and who's organizing? Because I could imagine if there's a problem, you're going to get the call and you're going to be like, well, I'm not putting my...
Again, learning from experience, you know, engaged a landscape architect to just give us some pricing or give us the designs.
Yeah.
And then that comes into the working drawing, so the landscape design.
Yeah.
And then if they want me to price it, I'll price all that into fixed price. Landscaping, and then there's some landscapers who I engage to price out the job.
Yeah, nice.
The client might say, look, we won't do, can you help us out with landscaping? Here's 3 or 4 landscapers I recommend who I work with.
Yeah, oh, nice. That makes you look a bit more professional as well.
So. Yeah, and it's hard. And you sort of, when that starts and when they want to come on trade, like this one here, the client wants to paint the fences.
Yeah.
And they went, when can we come on? You know, can we paint the fences? And I'm like, well, they want to paint the fences, you know, 2 weeks ago, but I've got trades in there, renderers and things, and I don't want you...
Shit's going to get knocked and banged into.
They can come and do it, but I'm like, I'll give you the okay when you can come on and do that.
Yeah. Let's talk about your pricing process. Do you do it all yourself? How do you do it at the moment?
I've got... I get estimators involved.
Nice.
And estimators to help me with takeoffing.
Yeah.
Takeoff and estimating, outsourcing, pricing, and getting quotes back.
Yeah, sweet.
I find I get quotes back a lot more now from areas than what I used to do than just putting an allowance
in this
because I don't like putting allowance in there because it's like, oh.
It's risky, man. Because do you find it's risky?
Yeah.
I just think because if you use your normal subby and old mate plumber's busy and you get a price off him and you know the last job it was $15,000 and he's like, nah, man, pipeline's full, 22.
I know.
Come on, man.
That is so true.
Yeah.
My plumber prices the jobs, my electrician who I've been using for, you know, 10, 12 years now.
Yeah,
he prices everything for me.
Yeah.
I, you know, pretty much know where he's going to be at, but I want to have that.
Exclusive extra outtake videos.
I was gonna say it looked like a partial existing, like that.
So this is all it's a full custom. This is a custom garage door, tilt-up garage door.
Yeah.
And it's getting fully cladded with decorwood battens.
So
that will continue the whole way up.
Yeah, sweet.
It'll look like one continuous panel.
Yeah. What's a pool worth up here nowadays?
So this is a concrete pool.
Yeah.
Let me show you through around there, like cost-wise for them to provide like a concrete pool. I get the guys to quote everything for me. I've been working with the same guys for quite some time.
Yeah.
That's around 42K.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Not too bad. And that's including, you know,
dig out as commands, well.
Dig concrete.
Yeah.
And basic pool coping.
Yeah.
And surround. Which is pretty good.
Man, we priced one in New Zealand last year in Mount Eden. Yeah. It was like 120,000 dig out, concrete pool, coping, decks, plumbing, everything.
I did one similar price, but it was it was a 14 meter wide pool.
It's almost like a bloody lap pool.
With a sort of a Infinity Edge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But nice. not water.
Yeah.
So we went that was an extra 30 or 40K to go to add the extra water side of things. So it was an Infinity Edge, but yeah. Water didn't go over the edge.
Oh, just right up to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it like glass on the front? Could you see through it?
Yeah, it was on an edge and it was, so we didn't have to put a glass across the front it was falling down into it.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah. Come around here.
Yeah, let's go this way.
Hoods, yeah, they specialise in all these window hoods.
Yeah.
Really good company. They're based out of Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, nice.
And they price everything out and they give good pricing. They just run a good organisation.
Yeah, yeah. Just out of interest, what's the cost for a full set of joinery on a house like this?
I'll take you through here in the moment. Yep. This joinery, for this one here, the joinery in the kitchen and laundry and bathrooms is up around 70K.
Yes.
Set full height, 2.7 detailed joinery.
Yeah. Are you the one to, like, do you get a couple of quotes when you're doing joinery and stuff, or have you just used these guys?
Because two guys I usually use.
Yeah, sweet.
Through that.
Yes, it's nice out here, man.
How are you guys? How are you?
Smoko time.
Hey, how you doing? So I've put in quite a few of the integrated fridges.
Yeah.
We use Fisher & Paykel.
Yeah.
Fisher & Paykel and NZ.
Yeah.
Very good products and that.
Yeah.
And the pricing is good, but an integrated fridge, it's around that $5,000 to $6,000.
Yeah.
But if you want it plumbed, that's not plumbed.
Yeah.
If you want it
plumbed. For like ice and water machines.
Yeah,
and stuff. Yeah.
It could add on an extra $2,000.
Oh, man.
Just for that.
Yeah. Do the Fisher & Paykel do that, or is the plumber?
Yeah. Yeah, they.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's just the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. How long have you been on this one to date?
We started this one in August, September last year.
Oh, you're going all right, eh?
So, yeah, we're on track for a handover in the end of May, June. I've got 2 weeks sort of
leeway.
Things are sort of pushing out a little bit. I find it's a little bit better.
What job goes to time?
Exactly right. Like, especially these custom things.
Fuck yeah.
And the stairs were meant to be in last week.
Yeah, yeah.
The tiles are here. He's waiting to get the tiles up there.
Yeah.
So you sort of deal with those little things.
100%.
But I find it's a bit better now.
Mm.
It's more stable than what it was 18 months ago.
Yeah, delays, cost, prices. Yeah,
you know, absolutely. Trades are a little bit more flexible.
Accessible.
Definitely accessible. Yeah.
Man, we're noticing that so much across the board. Just, for example, like plaster and painters to do, we had floods end of last Jan.
Yeah.
To get a plaster and painters to do like a damaged ceiling, you were paying like $1,800 for 2 coats of plaster, 2 coats of paint, and now you're getting them back for 65 an hour. And it's like $500 to $700.
Yeah.
But you would have had the same thing. Like when everyone's busy, bro, prices, square meter rates go out the window.
Then the quality dropped down. When everyone was so busy, the quality just dropped down.
Rush.
And then they're charging through the loop and I was like, mate, you need to do better than that.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? I'll just go to another builder who will give me that, this is fine.
But were they like long-term subbies that you so you were just great.
So I was doing a couple of builds in Brisbane as well.
Oh, shit.
Beautiful builds.
Yeah.
It was just challenging to find good trades because everyone was busy.
Yeah, man.
And you're sort of trying to use, you're using a cart. My carpenters do everything from start to finish.
Yeah.
But they can't be on every job. So
you've got to bring in a crew of subbies.
So they might do the frame and then another crew will come in and do the clad or the lock up
and
the fix out. And they're like, oh, this is all out. That's not my problem.
It's the next person can fix it.
Yeah. And you want people working together. Like I've been, been doing it for 10 years or so, and especially in this area where I've got a niche in the northern end of the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
My builds are all within, 10, 15 minutes of each other.
Yeah.
At the most.
Convenient for you, yeah.
And so I just went, let's, like, everyone wants to work close to each other and that, and you've got people who work together. My electrician and plumbers are good friends.
Yeah.
They work together.
And they all fucking care. And they can also do a bit
Just take that little bit extra.
Yeah, 100%.